trust that we have already been challenged by God's word this morning. Picture that we can see in the things that were shared this morning is that life is a journey, and we are going to meet challenges along the way, and we're going to need to make decisions. As I was pondering about sharing here this morning and just thinking about life, thinking about what do I need? What do my people need to hear? And just pondering those things and thinking about my past week, something that I know, but was just reminded again of that life has its challenges. And we like to, as a people, we like to, at times, convince ourselves, or even maybe more so, we like to make other people believe that everything is just great. My life has no problems. I'm just an overcomer in everything that comes along, and no disappointments. But we know that if we go down these roads that we're only kidding ourselves. We know that from experience that life has challenges, it has disappointments, and there's things that we need to work through. And as I was pondering these things, how many of us have, when we buy something and we look through the manual or the labels or the warranties that this item might have, and it usually says something in the line of terms and conditions. How many of us spend any time pondering over those things? Well, I'm one of those that doesn't really. Well, it's supposed to do this, and I bought it to do something maybe even a little more than what it was intended for. And I use it. And then it breaks and it doesn't do what I thought it should do. And what do we find ourselves? Disappointed. Maybe we even go back, you know, if we're desperate, we go back and say to the manufacturer and we say, this thing has a 3-year warranty and it only lasted however long it lasted. Can I have a new one? And they'll start asking questions and they'll say, well, you didn't use it the way it was intended to be used. And so therefore, the results you're getting, you know, it's not going to work for you. In fact, I had a saw that we use for at work that we use for a way that it's not intended to be used. But when it burns up, we just else fix it or we get another one. And for a while, I would take this saw to the repair shop, and they would fix it time after time, and then eventually we would get a new one. And at one point, they told me and said, don't bother bringing this saw in because you're using it in a way that it's not intended to be used, and we don't want to fix it. And so I got the message that they didn't appreciate the way that it was being used. Anyway, terms and conditions. And what I'd like to just help us think about is when we want to experience God's grace, there's terms and conditions. There's paths that we need to follow. There's instructions that we need to listen to. And as I was thinking about the things in Matthew chapter 14, there's just a couple of verses here that I'd like to turn to, and I think that maybe it's something that we probably all find ourselves falling in at times. But I just appreciate the message here that Jesus gave here. If we go down to chapter 14 and go down to verse 26 there, and the disciples were out on the water here, and Jesus came along, and the disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But in verse 27, Jesus got their attention, and Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And we see that they heard, and Peter responded and said here in verse 28, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he was invited to come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" We see here this little journey that Peter had, and he entered into something that brought fear to him, but Jesus got his attention, and his faith and trust rose, and his eyes were on Jesus. But as he walked that journey and he started looking around, he saw some things that troubled him and were of concern, and he lost his focus and he started to sink. He cried out to God, which is what we're called to do, and asked Jesus to save him. And we see here Jesus' admonishment there that, you know, why did you have so little faith? Why did you doubt? And Jesus restored him there. And as we look at this little situation here, we want to be critical of Peter because we can see exactly what happened. But how often does our life look a little bit like that? And, you know, we find ourselves walking through troubled waters, and we experience things that we wouldn't have needed to experience if we stay focused. But God in his mercy continually reaches out his hand and says, lifts us up when we cry to him. And so there, when we want to experience God's grace, there's terms and conditions. And we see here Peter, you know, he cried out to God when he realized where he was headed. And he didn't, when he realized that he was sinking and he needed Jesus, and he asked him to save him. In James chapter 4, just like to turn to that chapter. And when we look at this whole chapter, we see the battles that we're going to face. But I'd like to just look at a couple of verses here, and maybe I'll just read for verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. We see here in these verses, you know, that there's something inside of us that we're going to have to come to grips with. But if we turn to go down to verse 5 and through verse 8, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I felt that Melvin gave us a little picture of that this morning. On the board here, we see the battle between life and death, and we see that, you know, as we face life, that there's things that we're going to have to come to terms with. And we're going to have to choose so we can experience life. And if we choose to not pursue those things, then we automatically fall over in the category that will eventually bring death. And so we allow ourselves into the lines of the things that are written there. As we look at these verses here, we see two things here in verse 6. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And we will find ourselves in one of those categories. In Psalms chapter 10, verse 4, it talks about the wicked. It tells us there that the wicked does not seek him. His thoughts are that there is no God. You know, the person, he's trying to convince himself that there is no God. And that's maybe someone that is probably trying to believe a lie, and eventually maybe they convince themselves. In Luke chapter 18, when we look at pride and humility, I think we can see that picture very well in this chapter. In verse, starting in verse 9, verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We see two men here. We see a clear picture of two different hearts here. One that was trying to, it would appear like he was trying to not only impress himself, he was trying to impress God. And I am guessing that with that, he was also trying to impress his fellow people, the people that were around him. So what do we see in this? We see people pleasing. We see self-worship. We see someone that he's trying to make his life look good. He's trying to appear as clean. We see the sin of pride, and I think in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10 and 11 there, we can see a message there. Elisha gave a message to Naaman there, and Naaman was, I believe, looking for healing. He had a problem, and so he was seeking out Elisha here to find healing. And so the message came to him to go to the Jordan River and to wash seven times. And as we read that account, what do we find happening there? Naaman, he was angry. And it meant here that he was going to have to humble himself and to do something that, you know, there's a lot better places to go to get clean than to this body of water. And he wasn't going to do it. But he had a servant that reasoned with him and said, you know, if they would have asked you to do something great, or if it would have, you know, made you look great, you would have been more than happy to do this. But this thing of going down to, in my own words here, and doing something like this, you know, there's no greatness in this, and I'm not gonna do that. But this servant of his reasoned with him and convinced him that it would be good to humble himself and to do what was asked of him. And we see the results there of when he humbled himself and how he struggled through letting go of pride. And when he humbled himself there that and was willing to be obedient, in how he found help and healing. In Luke chapter 22, verse 25 and 26, and he said unto them, the kings of Gentiles exercise lordship over them. They that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that does serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. We see here the difference, the view that, you know, the world has, the view that our human nature has, as we want to, the human nature wants to be Lord and King and see greatness. You know, we see the pride of man in this way of thinking. But Jesus reminds us here that, you know, if we want to experience the things of the Lord, that we have to understand these things. And we have to lay that down and choose to serve the way that Jesus served, and allow him to shine through us. In Philippians chapter 2, as we look at the publican there, and we think about, you know, the way that he came to God, you know, he realized, he acknowledged that his life wasn't perfect. And he realized that outside of the Lord, that he didn't have a whole lot. He recognized, I believe, that God's forgiveness, and that the Lord accepted him. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. We see two men here in when we were looking at the publican and the Pharisee there. We see one doing what these verses tell us not to do, and we see another one realizing that, you know, except for the mercies of the Lord, he doesn't have anything. And so we see that played out there, and that is what God is asking of us. Let not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We're to be concerned about each other and care for one another. And that's why I believe that God has us here this morning. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on our own understanding. You know, we're to trust in the Lord, and the things, you know, when we try to process things and we come up with an understanding, and we heard that this morning in the first message there, you know, if we focus, if we have a plan and we focus on our own ability and our own understanding too much, that it will take us places where we don't want to be. And we're reminded that we need to trust the Lord. We need to remember the terms and conditions of experiencing God's grace, God's strength. Peter, you know, when he was facing troubling times, and the minute that he forgot that this wasn't him doing it, it was the Lord holding him up, he found himself in trouble and sinking. And so we need to, and God reminds us to again and again what happens when we don't trust in him. When we look at humility, humility is freedom from pride. Humility is entrusting my life to God, as we saw in the prayer there of the publican and Pharisee there. We see, you know, one is full of pride, one is building his life based on his accomplishments, and the other one is just lifting his life up to the Lord and trusting God. What happens when we allow humility to walk away, when we choose to walk away from that? Well, I think Melvin wrote some things there on the board that bring us to a reality check. When we allow humility to get away, or we choose to put it aside, we are faced with our enemy. And our enemy is ourselves. It is pride. As that leaves, pride comes knocking on our door. And it doesn't ask if it wants to come in. It opens the door and it comes in. And it'll take over. And we see when, you know, when that happens, we allow, it brings selfishness and all these things that we don't like, you know, fear, anger, it, all those things come in with it. And so it's something that we need to be aware of. In 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 8 tells us to be sober-minded, to be watchful. Tells us your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour someone, seeking whom he may devour, looking for an opportunity to jump in and to bring destruction. And so the verse here, the terms are that we need to be aware and we need to be watchful, to be sober-minded, watchful, you know, praying, asking God to give us wisdom, to give us protection, praying for each other. You know, we come to places in our life where we have to make decisions. And our brother shared about that, about, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I have to make a decision. We're faced with something that we weren't expecting. And those are very, very important times, I believe, for us to be aware. What is going on? Why is this happening? How am I responding? What am I doing with this situation? And let's not be taken by surprise, but let's be strong in the Lord and allow Him to work in us through these times. In verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You know, to humble ourselves. When I look at that, taking these opportunities and trusting God. When I think about humble, you know, I think about just, you know, we don't necessarily understand. We don't know the outcome of what's before us, but we're going to just entrust the things at hand in the Lord's hands, entrust my life to Him. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we're reminded here that this is the mind that we're to have. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we see the Lord appeared to Solomon here, and his words were, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. These words, I believe, are for us. You know, when we have a heart like we see here in 2 Chronicles, the people were seeking the Lord, and this was the promise that He gave to them. And this is the promise that we can have, you know, if we dare to humble our lives, to entrust our lives into His hands, and allow Him to have His way, we will experience healing. We will experience life. When we think about experiencing God's grace, you know, what does that really mean to us? A saying that I read says, judgment is getting what we deserve. Judgment is getting what we deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. It's getting something that we don't deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Grace is something that we... mercy is extended. Grace is given to us. We don't deserve it, but it's given to us. And so let's just remember, God's grace is a gift that is given to us that we don't deserve. We haven't earned it. But it was explained to us this morning that, you know, what Jesus went through, that we might be able to experience grace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. When we look at that verse there, you know, when we, to me, the way that verse is written out, it looks like a path that is well traveled. A path that we continually find ourselves that we need the Lord's help. We need to stay on, you know, to continually, you know, these words, these fear and anger and bitterness, you know, as these things come at us, you know, we have to deal with them. And you know, Satan has his ways of coming at us through many different ways. And I, this past week, I had someone at work there needed to leave very suddenly. And he had a friend that wasn't doing well and was, you know, the things he was communicating about life and wanting to live, you know, it didn't look good. And he was threatening to, you know, he was done with this life. And so this young man went home, and as I, you know, dug into the situation, I found out it's somebody that he's, you know, reaching out to, but he feels like manipulated so often, and it's you know, these different things that come to us, you know, we need to come to the Lord and find his strengths in mercy and in times of need. And a person like that needs to find that as well for their own lives. You know, one of his struggles was with reaching out to this person is, you know, and we're not exempt from these things, is he's, you know, he feels used and manipulated. And these are things that we have to deal with in life, you know, through people that we know or don't know. And, you know, we choose to deal with them with words that bring life to ourselves and to the hearers around us, or we choose to use them to harm ourselves. And so we need to continually turn back to the Lord and allow him to, you know, to experience his mercy and grace in times of need. What happens in life when we are in denial, when we when life isn't going well? We find ourselves clinging to things that offer something, but they don't usually offer confidence and peace. They offer us something that is false, something that is outside of God's grace and mercy, something that will take us, that will sap us from what we really want. In closing here, in Luke chapter 5, verse 5 there, if we looked at that account, Jesus was teaching here. He had spent some time teaching here, I believe, and Simon and the ones that were with him had, the night before, had spent some time fishing. And they had probably put a lot of energy in it because they were said they were out all night. And they hadn't been successful. And as I was looking at that account there and thinking about that, you know, how many times have we found ourselves in a time frame of where we ventured out to do something that was supposed to be profitable, that was supposed to be encouraging, that was supposed to bear fruit. And we came back empty, or at least so we thought, or so we think. In Luke chapter 5, verse 5 here, verse 4, and when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Simon pointed that out to Jesus and said, you know, we just spent a lot of time doing what you're telling us to do here, and we got nothing. And like maybe he thought that Jesus didn't know. I'm sure Jesus knew. And his response was, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And we know what happened here is their nets were filled, full and overflowing. When we want to experience God's grace, it often doesn't happen on our terms and our conditions. You know, we think that, well, I gave it everything I had, and it didn't work. We didn't get results the way we wanted to. What do we do when we find ourselves in those moments? Well, we see what Simon did here. Jesus was speaking to him, and he gave him hope to continue, to do what Jesus told him to do. And there was results. Our enemy loves to come into these situations when we're faced with these moments in life. When you hear Jesus speaking and telling you to do something, to take the next step, the enemy of your soul, he wants to come in there too. And he'll give you just something to think about. It's like, well, how much energy did you spend trying to do what you did all last week? What did you come up with? We'll hear words like that. If we give a listening ear to those thoughts, those words, we will definitely not experience God's power working in our lives in those times. So, let's be diligent. Let's be aware of those times in our lives and when those decision-making moments come. You know, let's choose to listen to what God's word has to say about those things. May the Lord bless.